Back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF, Sam Speck, Matt Jordan with you as we are live from our KGGF studios on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for choosing 690 AM as your morning radio dial position. And over the phones right now, we are actually joined by Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. Derek, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Derek, and thanks for squeezing some time in and making this phone interview possible. Deb out today. She's feeling a little under the weather. She has been the last couple of days. So I know you guys had a couple of things we wanted to talk about. We will get to that. But, Derek, you were kind of put in the middle of a scenario these last couple of weeks. Obviously, we had our primary elections that took place, and we had a governor's race that had quite a bit of drama that was involved with it. Now, Derek, kind of explain, you know, the scenario that you were put in with it, with the whole canvassing process.
Well, right. We had, I guess technically we're still in the midst of, although
True.
It seems to be functionally resolved. You know, we have the closest governor's race in a primary in the history of the state of Kansas, at least as far back as I've seen records, which is into the early 20th century. Ultimately, it looks like Kris Kobach came out ahead of Governor Collier by around 350 votes, but there was at least one point in the days after the ballots were cast on that first Tuesday of the month that the gap was down to about 50 votes. And obviously that's very, very close out of more than 300,000 cast. So understandably, supporters of both sides and the candidates were keeping a very close eye on things and were prepared, I think, to request a recount or even go to litigation if they thought that that was appropriate to resolve the election. And everything, of course, was made more difficult by the fact that the candidates involved in the race were the sitting governor of the state and the sitting secretary of state of the race, the state's chief executive, and the state's chief elections official, the folks, two of the three folks responsible for making sure that the election is that the vote tallies are accurate, canvassing is accurate.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, I'm the third person, the one who wasn't involved in the race, and so both looked to me and to our office, I think, to sort of be the umpires, if you will, in this, to give a sense of confidence to the public that all the processes were run above board, especially in the Secretary of State's office, since he was obviously directly involved. And so we did that. You know, we do that in every election. It just doesn't normally get the sort of attention it did this time. But as the state's chief legal officer, we're always involved in answering questions from county election officials or county councilors about how various election statutes may apply and that sort of thing, or from the Secretary of State's office for that matter. So we did the same thing we always do. It just became a little more high profile. It's not quite done yet. The State Board of Canvassers has to meet here in, I think it's a couple of weeks, might be next week. It is next week. And that's the, I believe it's Lieutenant Governor, myself, and maybe it's the Governor, myself, and the Secretary of State. So that'll be the final official approval of the election return. So
certainly,
we've been trying to be a fair umpire in all this to assure everybody that the results are fair and accurate.
Yeah, and it shows a level of transparency for the state of Kansas as well, because it was just like you said, it's something that you guys do every election. You know, this was just happened to be the scenario that two of the three were involved on that board as well, and then it gave us a little bit of a dramatic twist to it when Kris Kobach backed out of the process, and then it kind of raised some eyebrows, and then obviously after the votes were put through, we started realizing that maybe some counties were maybe just overlooked at recent times. It wasn't an actual miscount or anything like that. So it is kind of looking the way that Kris Kobach will be the Republican candidate for governor coming up. So odd scenario you were put in there, Derek, is it's good to hear you guys are, staying, as even on both sides, kind of like you said, the umpire of both sides. And so, again, adds that level of transparency for the state of Kansas. So odd scenario there. And like you said, closest race between two governors as well. It was we had to cover it, and it was a long night for us, certainly. And I'm sure it was for you. So, Derek, I know you and Deb were talking about a couple of training sessions over here, one including a task force and one other. Let's go ahead and expand on those.
Well, right. We were going to mention a couple of public meetings coming up in Southeast Kansas.
Yeah.
That although they're not in Montgomery County, they serve the region, including folks in Montgomery County and throughout your listening area on the Kansas side, so we wanted to be sure and mention them.
Certainly.
One, you mentioned transparency a moment ago. We partner with the Sunshine Coalition for Open Government every year at the AG's office and provide a series of regional trainings around the state on how the Open Meetings Act, the Open Records Act work. Obviously, those are the two basic open government statutes in Kansas that require most public records to be available to members of the public, most public meetings to be accessible to members of the public, but there are lots of rules, exceptions, modification clauses, that sort of thing. And so we always provide those trainings. We have one coming up this coming Friday in the afternoon in Fredonia. It'll be at the Fredonia Public Library between 1:30 and 4:30. And, you know, we encourage anybody who's interested in the subject matter, and especially people who are in any public office, not just high-profile major ones, but township offices, city offices, library boards, anyone who might be subject to the requirements of the Open Records, Open Meetings Act, to come on out and get a refresher if you already know this stuff, or learn about it if you don't. We discover at our office that most of the violations that are brought to our attention, and we enforce the law, those two laws all over the state, but most of the violations are not malicious. They're unintentional, but they're still violations of the law. And so we try to educate people to improve that. So that's number one. I'll be there, and we hope that there might be quite a few folks in the region come on by.
Yeah, and I've spoken with a couple of, you know, city commission members from Caney, Independence, and here in Coffeyville as well, and they say it is, you know, it's increasingly difficult nowadays to get people to be a part of these boards because there is, you know, outlying things that maybe they were unaware of, maybe they didn't know, or maybe, you know, they just weren't taught at the time, and it's tough to get people on board, so it's good to, you know, did you say it's a yearly event that you guys put on?
Right. Our office alone provides trainings throughout the year from time to time, but once a year we partner with the Sunshine Coalition for Open Government, which is a Kansas-based group that includes lots of different players, but it's mainly members of the media. The broadcasters, the press association are the two major members, and then there are several others. And we provide these trainings around the state.
Certainly. Yeah. And again, it just it gets you that further knowledge and education of scenarios that you may have not been aware of. And like you said, you know, it's non-malicious in a lot of the cases, but at the same time, it is it's still against the law. So,
absolutely. So come on out. We would be delighted to see anybody that has an interest in that this Friday. And then, you know, the other thing we wanted to mention, we happen to have another regional meeting on a very different subject coming up. It'll be the following week, Friday, August 31st. It'll be up in Iola. But we have put together at the AG's office this year in partnership with the Tower Mental Health Foundation, which is a not-for-profit entity, Topeka-based, that was spun out of the Menninger Foundation when it, after many, many years, left Kansas and moved to Texas. They left behind some funds for this foundation to do mental health work around the state. And one of the things we're doing with that is we've put together a youth suicide prevention task force. We were looking at the data. The data is concerning in terms of the number of kids 18 and under who choose to take their own lives in Kansas. The numbers are not, fortunately, they're not very large at this point, but obviously everyone is a tragedy. But the trend line is the wrong direction, and that's what has us concerned. A decade ago, there were about, I think it was eight, it was either seven or eight kids statewide who killed themselves. 10 years later, that had grown to 18. Mm-hmm. And if you plot each year's numbers, it's a fairly steady increase, which is consistent with the national trends, and it's not just a growth in absolute numbers, it's also as a percentage per 100,000 kids, the rate has grown steadily as well. So we've partnered with the Tower Foundation, put this task force together. It's got some education leaders, mental health leaders, public policy leaders throughout the state sit on it. They're all volunteers. They've agreed to do this series of meetings and meet with folks who work on mental health issues, suicide prevention, interact with kids communities around the state, and their goal is pretty straightforward. They want to catalog all the good work that's underway because we know there are very good, very creative local efforts underway in parts of the state that haven't been shared in other parts of the state. So we want everybody to work. And second, we wanted to put together some recommendations. What should the state be doing, if anything, beyond what's already happening going forward to try to bend that curve back down? So It's an important subject. It's a subject that's touched many, many people's lives, many of whom don't talk about it. And, again, anybody who's interested, and especially anybody who has stories or information or ideas they want to share, I'd really recommend they come up, testify, or if they can't, just come up and listen. Or if they can't do that, we'd be glad to take their written suggestions. They can submit them online or by mail-in into our office.
Yeah, and it is kind of, you know, it is a topic of concern. Obviously, as you had said, the numbers aren't just mind-blowingly staggering, but it is a consistent increase year by year. And speaking with the Montgomery County Sheriff, Bobby Dirks, it is here specifically in Montgomery County as well, an increase of an issue with the mental health. So would this be, you know, like you said, it is for everybody, like you were saying. So it's not just specifically law enforcement members or educators or things like that. It's for really anyone that's involved in, you know, growing around a child.
Anybody interested in the subject matter or anybody who has information that might be helpful or relevant. So no, you don't need any resume or qualifications to be part of this discussion. You just need an interest. And if you have any information or knowledge, that's all to the better, but not required. Our goal is to figure out what's already happening out there. And then when you know where you're starting from, you can sort of figure out what you ought to do next. But that sort of comprehensive overarching work really hasn't been done before in Kansas, and that's delighted this group's been willing to volunteer their time to do that.
Certainly. Speaking with the Attorney General of Kansas, Derek Schmidt, here this morning on a couple of training sessions. Where was this, the mental health training session happening? I know you said it was the next week, I believe, but where and when is it happening?
Right. It'll be in Iola at Allen Community College. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, August 31st. It'll go until they get done, but it's scheduled to wrap up around noon or 12:30. But just go to the community college main office and ask, and in Iola. And Friday, August 31st at 9 o'clock.
All righty, Derek Schmidt, again, the Attorney General of Kansas. I know you've had a very busy and eventful month. We've got these training sessions coming up, as you know, the course is coming up here this week and next week. But any final notes that you wanted to get out for our listeners?
Well, we just appreciate everybody's interest in all the things that are going on. And, you know, maybe finish where we started. The close primary election appears to be largely behind us, but just yesterday, some folks in the Kansas Democratic Party filed an objection to Greg Orman's petition that puts him on the ballot, tried to put him on the ballot as a third-party candidate for governor. So the, I don't know if we want to say the drama, but certainly the interesting events in the 2018 gubernatorial election goes on. And yes, I get to serve as a member of the State Objections Board that will review those petitions, and guess who the other two members are. It's the Lieutenant Governor and the Secretary of State.
Yeah, if I were to take a guess, it would probably be the the other two that have been heavily involved in all of this drama, wouldn't it? Well, hey, Derek, thanks so much for giving us a call this morning and taking some time out of your day. It's, again, very busy couple of weeks for you. Great events that you guys put on as well statewide, and then a couple of down here in our region. So, again, Attorney General of the State of Kansas, Derek Schmidt, thanks for tuning in with us, and you have a great rest of your day, man.
Thanks for all your interest. Bye-bye.
All righty. Derek Schmidt again, Attorney General of the State of Kansas. Always a great interview on the Mighty 690 KGGF.